It is so good. It is so good to see everybody here, and we appreciate you guys. This is the huggingest, kissing place I've ever seen in my life. I'm telling you what, we can't even get them. Rosa can't even get them back in her seat, honey. I'm telling you, it is so good to be here. Mark's away, like Karen said, he's at revival. I believe that there's power in a touch, in a hug, in a. When Jesus touches people, they're never the same. I took my little granddaughter. We took our family down to Alabama. If I'm not here, a lot of times I'm in Alabama. That's where I go to relax a little bit. And we go to this place called Alligator Alley. And my grandbaby, she likes alligators. I mean, she loves alligators. Yeah, that would be Skittles, the alligator. Now they tell me that most of the people are scared of alligators. Little kids are scared. Not little Ren. They went to hold her. I said, hang on, you might not want to do that. Oh, no, she'll be all right. I said, I'm not so much worried about my granddaughter. I'm worried about the alligator. They said, oh, no, that alligator, Skittles is really resilient. I said, okay. Well, they give her that alligator. That's a sweet and nice. In her mind, she's thinking, what does that leg taste like? So she reached down, she grabbed the alligator's leg, yanked it up, was getting ready to chew on it, Kathy. They said, well, maybe not that resilient. I believe there's power in a touch, don't you? I believe there's so much power in a touch. I seen this video the day, and I want to share it with you. I'm going to go ahead and let them pull this up, but I thought this was a pretty cool video, if we can get it up. It's called the
For sure, bro. What's going on? I'm looking at that. You died half a year ago, but it's still hard.
Are you close with her?
Yeah, she was like a third character there.
I'm so sorry to hear that, man. If you could say one thing to her, what would it be?
That I love her very much. I'm going to miss her at all Christmases as well.
Love you, bro.
Thanks for stopping by. Put a flower for her, okay? Thank you so much.
Hello.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Who are you missing?
I'm missing my mom.
Where's your mom?
I haven't been able to see her for a few years.
How come?
Drugs got the hold of her.
Oh, man. If you could say anything to her right now, what would it be?
I love you. Please don't give up.
Thank you.
Good luck. I love you, okay?
Thank you.
What's up, man? How are you?
I'm good, man.
You good?
Yeah.
You missing someone this holidays? Who are you missing?
My dad.
Where's your dad?
Dad.
Sorry, man.
It's all good. It was his anniversary last year of dying, yesterday.
So sorry to hear that.
It's all good.
If you could say something to him, what would it be?
I miss you.
Love you, bro.
Right there.
Take two flowers, one for you and one for him, okay? Thinking of you, brother.
Hey, bro.
What's going on, dude?
You know, just holiday seasons right now, kind of. Just missing the family and that, and I was looking to see if I could get a hug.
Oh, for sure, bro.
Appreciate you, bro. Love you. Love you too, man. Keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you so much, man.
Take care, bro.
Take care.
Yes, I like a flower.
You like a flower? What's your favorite color?
Well, I like them all.
You like this one right here?
Yeah.
You missing anyone these holidays?
I got a husband with me.
How long have you guys been married for?
48 years.
And what's the secret?
You just be yourself, you know.
Yeah.
We love each other.
I believe with all my heart that there's power in a touch. Some of y'all in this room will know Joanne Clemens. And her husband passed away, Merle did, and she was at church one day. And she was talking to one of the construction guys that owns a construction company there, Scott. And she said, you know, Scott, she said, since Merle's passed away, Sundays is the only day that I get hugged. And Scott realized at that moment she would come to church every Sunday and she would get a hug and that would last her all week because no one hugged her between Monday and Saturday. And then she'd come to church and get a hug. Well, Scott, he wasn't a hugger, but he became a hugger every Sunday. He hunted down Joanne Clemens and gave her a hug every Sunday. I believe there's power in a touch. And I believe with all my heart, I believe when God touches you, you're never the same. I believe when God gets a hold of you and He lays a touch on you, that it changes your life. God has the power to do that. In Mark chapter 8, there's a touch. There's a powerful touch that happens here. I want you to get a hold of this. Mark chapter 8, verse 22, it starts out and says, they arrived in Bethesda. Some people brought a blind man to Jesus. They begged Him to touch the man and to heal him. Jesus took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the village. Then spitting on the man's eyes, he laid his hands on him and asked, can you see anything now? The man looked around and said, yes, I see people, but I cannot see them very clearly. They look like trees walking around. Then Jesus placed his hands on the man's eyes again, and his eyes were open. His sight was completely restored, and he could see everything what? Jesus sent him away, saying, don't go back to the village on your way home. There's three different touches in here. People just talk about one of the touches, but I want to talk about all three touches in this passage. The first touch was a touch was to lead him. In verse 23, it says, Jesus took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the village. This was a blind man. He was led to Jesus, took him into Bethesda, led him to Jesus. Jesus takes him by the hand. Now this is kind of, and leads him out of town. Philip, you think about this. Jesus is leading him from the very people that brought him to Jesus. That kind of surprises me if you think about it. The very people that brought this man to Jesus, Jesus takes him away. Maybe the people that bring you to Jesus might not be the same people that's going to take you the next step. Maybe somebody else steps in and takes you the next step. But this man, he has a problem. What's his problem? He's what? So you could literally say he's blindly following Jesus. He's blindly following Jesus. He doesn't know what's in front of him, so Jesus takes him by the hand and leads him blindly. The man's following blindly. He's following Jesus wherever Jesus is going to take him. Jesus doesn't sit down and have a 10-minute conversation. This is where we're going to go. He takes him by the hand and says, let's go. And the man follows. When was the last time you blindly followed Jesus? When was the last time you blindly followed Jesus? Now, some of us have a problem with just following him and we can see what our next step is. Anybody relate with that? We know what we should be doing, but yet we struggle taking that step. We know what God has told us already in the book. We know what He's told us to, but we have a hard time taking that step. Nobody's amen on this yet this morning, but you know it's right. But then you take it to another step when you blindly follow Him. Lord, I'm not sure where you're taking me. I'm not sure where I'm going. Most of the time when we blindly follow Jesus, we complain. Lord, I don't know where you're taking me. I don't like it. It's dark here. We worry. Where are you taking me? Where are you taking me? I'm uncomfortable. Sometimes we act flat faithless. We have no faith. We follow him, but we act like we're faithless people because the way we talk. I don't know whether he'll lead me out of here or not. I don't know where I'm at. It doesn't matter if you know where you're at as long as he knows. Because he's the one that's leading. Most of us, here's the truth of it, most of us are trying to lead Jesus around. Hey, Jesus, won't you follow me here? Hint, he's not going to follow you. He's not going to follow me. He's in the business of leading, not following. So can you blindly follow Jesus? Can you let him lead you beside the still waters? Can you let him lead you in paths of righteousness for his? Can you let him do that? Can you let him lead you through struggles instead of trying to drag him through your struggle? Tell him what he should be doing in the midst of your struggle. Can you let him lead you through the struggle without you being in charge? Can you let him lead you? Are you willing to let him lead you? If you just let him lead you, one day he's going to lead you home. He's going to lead us home. But we got to be following. We can't be dragging him. We don't even know the way to get home except through him. And that's the only way, is through Jesus Christ. I look at this, and I got to talk about this because he led him outside the town of Bethesda. Now, why would he not go to the town of Bethesda? Why would he not do the miracle inside the town of Bethesda? You think about that? He did a lot of miracles inside of Bethesda. Why would he not? Why did Jesus curse Bethesda? He cursed that town. Why did he do that? It was a place of unrepentance, is what Matthew tells you. It was a place that was unrepentant. Jesus did a lot of miracles there, but not many believed. They didn't believe like other places. So this is a place that's unrepentant. This is it's a city that didn't believe like they should. And so Jesus, he chooses not to heal the man from his blindness inside of Bethesda because, man, they don't want to believe. They don't want to, they seen all kinds of miracles. Let me take him outside of town. I don't need this faithlessness around me. Let's go outside of town. And so he leads him. He takes him by the hand and leads him. All I have to say to you this morning, if you feel Jesus pulling on you, you best go. If you feel Jesus pulling on you, it's always the right move to go if Jesus is pulling on you. This first touch is about leading. Are you open? Are you open to God's leading this morning? Are you open to let God lead you where He wants you to go? Second touch was about a healing. Then, spitting on the man's eyes, he laid his hands on him and asked, Can you see anything now? The man looked around and said, yes, I see people, but I can't see them very clearly. They look like trees walking around. I got to start with the obvious. Mary obviously didn't teach. Jan, Mary obviously didn't teach Jesus not to spit on people. I don't know why Mary didn't teach Jesus not to spit on people. I'm telling you what. Jesus walks up and spits on this guy. He spits on him. Now, I love you. There's only one room in this church that's allowed to spit on me. There's only one room. Now, when you walk out of church, I don't want you to say, Jimmy, good to see you this morning. I don't want that. I don't want that this morning. You keep your spit to yourself. Every one of you, keep that to yourself. If you're a spitter, well, go outside in the grass and spit all you want, but just don't spit on me. There's only one room in this church that's allowed to spit on me, and that's the nursery. And those kids don't have germs. There's no germs on them babies in the nursery. They can spit and slobber all over me if they want to. It's okay. But the rest of you, no spitting. I look at this, and the second touch was all about a miracle. This is a miracle that actually happened. All. Could not see. This man could not see at all. And now he can see. That is a miracle. If somebody can't see, a man spits on them, puts his hands on them, and now they can see. That's a miracle. Going from being blind to now being able to see. That's a miracle. Let me explain it like this. You ever drive down the road? And the car next to you starts swerving over into your lane and starts merging in on top of you. And they are doing that because you're in their blind what? You're in their blind spot. They don't see you, so you lay on your horn. No sign language in this church. Don't be given sign language because they're merging in your lane. You just lay on your horn a little bit to let them know you're there. Now, I'm not going to ask how many people. We could talk about people merging over on us. I'm not going to ask how many of you merged over on other people. We're not going to talk about that this morning. I know I have. And there's probably two or three others in this room that's merged over onto other people. But sometimes people get in your blind spot, don't they? And you can't see them, so you start to merge, and all of a sudden somebody's blowing their horn at you. Sometimes going through life, we have some blind spots. Sometimes going through life, we have some blind spots in our life. Maybe we're not the parent we should be because we have some blind spots that we don't see. Maybe we're not the husband. Maybe we're not the wife. Maybe you're not the child you should be because you got some blind spots. Because you got some blind spots that are there that you're not seeing. Maybe your walk with Christ. Maybe you're not walking with Christ in a way that you should be because you got some blind spots that you're not seeing. And those blind spots hurt you, hurt your relationships. I can tell you, Jimmy Johnson has some blind spots that Jesus just needs to touch me. And let me say, I can speak for you. You guys have some blind spots. You need Jesus to come down and touch you again so you can see properly. Help me. Save me from this blindness. Save me from my blind spots. You ever think you can see everything, but yet you're missing some things? There's been times in my spiritual walk where I thought I was soaring into heavens, but my plane was just barely getting off the ground because I couldn't see everything around me. I was looking at the wrong things. I remember when I was in probably third grade or so, I was at Grundy, Virginia. There's not flat ground in Grundy, Virginia, if you've ever been there. How many people have been to Grundy? A few of y'all been with us to Grundy. There's not flat spots. I mean, they chisel off little spots on the side of a hill for you to put a single wide trailer on, and you put that single wide trailer on that little spot. You don't have a yard. You just have a cliff in your front yard. That's what you got. There's no sunrise and there's no sunset in Grundy. There's no. So we're hiking up this mountain. We're on this little path, going straight up. Dad was going to show us his playing grounds where he used to play as a kid and the rocks he used to jump off of and all that stuff. And so we're walking up the hill, and all of a sudden, I feel Howard Thompson. He's behind me. Dad's in front of me. Howard Thompson grabs me about right here and kind of tosses me up the hill a little bit, probably 3 or 4 foot. Well, I was looking around. I was seeing the birds. I was seeing the grass. I was seeing everything around me, I thought. Well, I walk a few more steps up the hill, and I turn around and look back, and Howard's not behind me, but he's way back there, and he's hollering for Dad. And I look down at the ground, and there's a copperhead laid across the trail. You know, I seen the birds, I seen the trees, I seen the grass, I seen everything, but I didn't see that which could have hurt me. I didn't see everything. Y'all understand? There's things in our life that God sees that we're blind to. There's things in your life that God sees and you're blind to. Sometimes we think we're the only one who knows our thoughts. Well, God still sees those thoughts. He knows. He sees your motives. He sees your lack of forgiveness. You might act like it on the outside, but maybe you're not doing it on the inside. He knows when you're playing the game. He sees your blindness. And so we say, Lord. We say, Lord, touch me again. Lord, touch me again. Heal me. Fix me. Lord, touch me again. I need fixed. The first touch was for a leading. The second touch was for a healing. The third touch, that was for focus. He said, I see people, but I can't see them clearly. They look like trees walking around. Then Jesus placed his hands on the man's eyes again and say his eyes were opened, his sight was completely restored, and he could see everything what? Now, I got to be honest with you. If Mark Fugate was here, He'd jump on the piano and he'd start playing some song that could go along with this.
Clearly now the rain is gone. I can see all obstacles in my way.
You ever have a hard time getting Mark Fugate out of your head? I mean, it's just right there. He's just always, come on, Mark. We'll have a good time with him. But sometimes we need Jesus to touch us again so we can have focus. So we can have focus. Touch me again, Lord. Maybe I don't need sight, I need focus. Touch me again. Maybe I don't need a leading. I just need some focus right now. Touch me again, Lord. Maybe here at Hillcrest Christian Church, we need to be touched so we can have focus, so we can be more focused on what God wants us to be at and where God wants us to be at and what God wants us to be doing. Touch me again, Lord. Touch me again. You see, when we talk about Hillcrest Christian Church, I'm not talking about this building. I'm not talking about that grass out there. I'm not talking about concrete and carpet and a podium and instruments. I'm talking about the people. Lord, touch us again. The people. Touch us, the church. The people. Touch us again so we can have some focus. Because sometimes, I'm not the only one here, ADD. I got to promise you that. I'm all over the place. But let me say this. I'm not the only one. Sometimes we get bouncing off the walls, looking at this and looking at that. And, oh, that looks good over there. Oh, Lord, touch me so I can have some focus. Again, sometimes we get so scatterbrained. This passage says his sight was completely restored and he could see everything clearly. Jesus touches a broken man, and let me say, Jesus is still touching broken people. He's still touching lost people. He's still touching hurt people. He's still touching blind people. My Jesus is still touching people today, and I need Jesus to touch me. You need Jesus to touch you again. Matter of fact, not once. Not once. Not twice. Not three times. Lord, you just keep touching me. Lord, you just keep touching me until you get out of me what I'm supposed to be given. You keep touching me. You keep fixing me. You keep restoring me. You keep touching me, Lord. I need your touch so I can see like I should. I need your touch so I can focus on what I'm supposed to be looking at. I need your touch so I can hear what you want me to hear. Lord, I need your touch so I can see, so I can do, so I can act, so I can be what you want me to be. Touch me again, Lord. How about we just say that together? Touch me again, Lord. We all need God to touch us. And we all need Him to touch us, not once, not twice, but keep touching me, Lord, until you get out of me what I should have. Give me the faith that I need, Lord. Touch me again. Get rid of this unbelief out of my heart. Touch me again, Lord, so I can focus. I pray that He would just touch this church. We got a lot of people we need to be touching in this community. Touch us so we see them. Put it on our hearts so we can see them. Touch our families. If there's ever a day that we needed God to touch the families, it's today. Lord, touch our families. Touch our families and heal the pain, heal the loss, heal the sickness, heal the selfishness. Lord, touch our families again. Help us focus. Lord, touch our nation. Used to we'd say in God we trust, now we say in money we trust. Lord, touch our nation again. Touch us, Lord, in such a way that our nation gets focused on the one. Our nation, if you go back to the Mayflower Compact, it was founded for the pursuit of Christ. Trying to be evangelistic, if you go back to the Mayflower Compact. Lord, touch us again. Let us be evangelistic once again. Let us reach the nations for you. Let our nation be reached for you, Lord. Touch us again as a nation. So we pray, touch us again. Touch us again. Lord, Lord, lead me. Come on up, Karen. We can say, Lord, lead us. Maybe it's time that you follow God. He's been trying to lead you for a long time, but you've been ignoring him. Maybe you've known your next step. You ever been there? You know the next step, but you're not taking it. You say, Lord, I'll pray about this a little longer. There's a time to quit praying and start doing. If you haven't been baptized, why not today? We're ready. Water's been put in the baptistries. You can see it right there. And I promise you, it's halfway warm. If you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, why wouldn't you do that today? Why would you go another day without saying, Lord, I'm just going to take the step you put in front of me. I want you to lead me. And I'm going to follow you in the steps that I'm supposed to be taking. Lead me today. Lead me. Some of you've been thinking about rededicating your life. It's been a long time. And you think, you know what, I used to be so close. We used to be walking hand in hand. And when God led me, I was hanging on to his fingers like a child. But we're not like that anymore. Lord, lead me. I need to rededicate myself so I can be close once again to you. Lead me. Touch me again. Sometimes we need a healing. You ever been there? Sometimes the bitterness gets in your heart, rages on and on and on. Sometimes there's health problems that's bigger than you. Sometimes there's hurts that's bigger than you, and you know you're not going to be able to deal with it on your own. So you say, touch me again, Lord. I need you right now. I need you right now. Touch me again. And we all get a little ADD. Amen. That's a weak amen. Am I the only one that's ADD in here? My mom never had me diagnosed, but she knows I am. We all get a little out of focus once in a while. Amen. Maybe you need to say, Lord, help me today. I'm out of focus. I'm not seeing what I should be seeing. I'm praying not God will be done, not your will be done. I'm praying the wrong prayer. Lord, help me pray the right prayer. That your will be done. And so we got to get our focus right. We all get out of focus once in a while, don't we? And it messes up our families. And it messes up our work life. But most important, it messes up our walk with the Lord when we're out of focus.